Evan, I have just recently returned from a trip to the most magical place on Earth, Walt Disney World, and I'm experiencing what some have called post-Disney depression. Basically, you're in that bubble of warm and fuzzy magic for a week, and then it's like, oh, back to reality where people stink. So I have to ask, is there like a post-Gen Con depression?
No, but I have con crud.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 62 of The Reserve Pool. We are back to semi-normal, whatever normal is anyway for any of us, because I'm here and so is Evan.
Yeah,
hi, Evan.
It feels like it's been, you know, like a month since I've been doing one of these.
Yeah,
it's
I know.
Crazy.
In reality, I think you were sort of on one recently, but we recorded before. Yeah.
Right.
And, of course, last week there's the one that I did with RJ. And the week before, we had the round table, but that works because you were on a boat and then you were at Gen Con, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Gen Con, the four best days in gaming, I believe, is the tagline.
I believe so. I did not make it to Gen Con. We've had a trip for Disney planned for a long time, and it finally came, and it was during Gen Con. And I'm totally cool with that.
Yeah, no, I mean, Gen Con was great fun. I enjoyed my time. This is actually, despite the fact that I've been, you know, a D&D player since I was a wee lad, and in gaming in general for a very long time, this is actually the first time I've been to Gen Con. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that was my first time of ever going to any kind of con earlier this year with Origins. We talked about that a couple episodes ago, and I don't know, I have to say, Gen Con is big, and I get that, and I understand the scope of what it is. But, man, Origins was big enough for me. I have to, and I'm an extrovert, and I love being around people. I love hustle, and I love bustle. And I can't imagine being comfortable at Gen Con. It's too big for me, personally.
Oh, man. Well, I mean, they kind of spread some of it out along, you know, in various places. A lot of the, like, I did a whole bunch of crafting workshops, mm-hmm. and many of them were actually in a hotel a few blocks away.
Wow.
So things were a little split up, but I think it also contributed. There's just people everywhere. People everywhere.
Right.
You go outside of the convention center, people everywhere.
No kidding.
I mean, you're in the middle of a city, so people everywhere
well,
anyway.
Right.
But it's, you know, obvious gamers.
Well, and that was the case with Origins as well. I don't know. I was happy being around 13,000 unique individuals. That was still quite a lot. But I understand the dealer hall at Gen Con. My goodness, that could be a con in and of itself.
Oh, my.
But,
I mean, I want to say, oh, like, imagine a football stadium full of just people selling stuff and people buying stuff. I don't know if it was quite the size of a football stadium, but it was pretty big.
Very nice. Well, we will talk a lot about Gen Con in just a little while, but this is a Dice Masters podcast. Indeed, we are all about Dice Masters and all about the people who love to play it. And along those lines, Evan, we recently finished up a contest that asked our fans of Dice Masters of the Reserve Pool to put together a Dice Masters haiku. And we had several entries here, and of course, I think it's about time that we get to the winners. And I got to say, once again, Evan, thank you so much for putting this awesome little contest together. I've been reading through some of these, and they're fantastic. I mean,
yes. One of the contest entries asked the question, is haiku really both the plural and singular form?
I believe yes.
Well, so the answer is, in Japanese, there is no real distinction between plural and singular, like there is in English. Like we have, you know, you add an S or an ES to everything, and that usually
or
makes
an
it
EN.
Plural. Yeah. Or EN, or sometimes XEN. But Japanese, you know, a noun is usually, you know, a noun doesn't really change. Like, there's ways that the sounds change some, but you don't, like, add stuff to say, that, you know, one cat, and then, you know, you add a character on, now it's five cats. No, it's just, there's counters to indicate numbers of things, when that happens. So technically, yes, haiku is really the both the plural and the singular form if you're going from the Japanese. English, you can do what you want. Haikus sounds really weird to me, but again, took Japanese a while. So you could probably say haikus in English and people would understand you, but if you're a purist, you'll just say haiku.
For more linguistic lessons, please email Evan at thereservepool.com. That's EVAN at thereservepool.com. Thanks for your support. All right, so let's get into these. I guess we'll just trade off every other. Some people submitted multiple ones. Now, are we reading every single one they submitted, or are we just going to pick our favorite?
I think we'll go with our favorites. Because there were people who did many of them. And,
yeah, we had a couple who
good,
did four or five. Yeah, my goodness. I feel like we're going to... I feel like some of them were supposed to be like a series. Like, I think this one here from Corey, I think they're supposed to go together, sort of.
Yeah, they all...
But I'm not sure.
They're all of a theme. And
yeah.
Well...
I'll go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, you've mentioned Corey, so maybe we should start with him.
Sure, go for it.
Corey Hurl wins a runner-up prize. We'll be going through the runner-ups first, of course. And he is one of the people who gave us many, many haikus.
I got my favorite picked out right here.
Oh, no, I just made a... I sighed really loudly because after going through that whole thing with haiku, I just said haikus.
I didn't even notice. Wonderful. We're keeping that in.
Yeah.
Go ahead. What's your favorite from Corey? I want to see if it matches up with mine.
My favorite haiku from the many haiku that Corey gave us, there, I did it right, was 8 cards, 20 dice. The numbers are so simple. Zero cash in bank. So after dropping a whole bunch on Dice Masters while I was at Gen Con, that is sort of how I feel.
I can understand that, having recently gone on a Disney vacation. I liked this one. Total futility. I struggle daily to make heroic useful.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Yep.
Might as well just stick with Team Watch and Teamwork. All right, so that's one of our runner-ups, Corey Hurl. Congrats there, my friend. Next runner-up that we have here is Craig Neal. So, again, for these, let's each pick our favorite ones for these ones.
Absolutely.
My favorite here from Craig is the last one here. 6 sides make a die. Oh, makes it... Let's start that over. 6 sides makes a die. 3 are energy, and yet I only roll those. Me, every game. He had a little, like... Who is quoting there? Him in every game. Yeah, I've been there. I have absolutely been there. How about you, Evan? Which of his 4?
I would like to note I have also been there.
Yeah.
I definitely like his second one. Your villains abound, yet I don't dare knock one out. Retaliation. Disgruntled,
you know,
DC player.
I love it when people pick a 5-syllable word to be the last line of haiku.
Yes.
Like, what's the one that just ends in refrigerator? It's something like, haikus are quite fun. Some don't make a lot of sense.
Refrigerator.
Yeah, something like that. Always been a fan of that.
I've heard that, and that is fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess you could do the same with hippopotamus. But anyway. All right, so that's Craig. All right, so we have one other multiple, but we won't get to them until later. Let's talk about a couple other runner-ups, if we want to just go up the list, I suppose.
Sure.
We're on Justin.
We have Justin, who he had the haiku, turtles on the rise, my wallet cries many tears, many salty tears.
At least it's not a collectible one, you know. And it, come on, they said January, that means it'll be February.
Right.
We have some time. Next up, next runner-up is Emmanuel Padilla, and he says, oh, this one's great. Shazam, I love him, but he's worse than Booster Gold. Why can't you be good? Yeah, I feel that about my boy Booster.
Next up is Tom, who wrote in, Dice Masters is fun, poetry not for this one, my case weighs a ton. So,
you know, I gotta say this. Not only, he says poetry is not fun for him, and yet, not only did he have a haiku and correctly structured here,
it rhymes.
Every line rhymed. Haikus don't usually rhyme like that. So yeah. Well done, Tom.
Yeah, this is like slam haiku poetry.
That's pretty awesome. Yeah, like Tom, I think you might have a talent there that you did not realize.
Indeed.
So yeah. All right, our next one, and oh my goodness, I'm going to mess up your name, and I greatly apologize for this. I'm not even sure how to begin.
I believe
so. I'm going to go with the phonetic that's spelled out at the beginning of your email and say Gudrun, and that's the best I can do. I apologize. That's there's some characters in there that I'm simply not familiar with, and I would love to hear from you and understand so that if you ever enter another one of ours, that I can not accidentally butcher your name. But I love what you have here. You are also a runner-up. Sorry, were you going to take a guess at that?
I was going to take the same guess you did. I believe it is Scandinavian Peninsula.
Yeah, maybe you kind of more origin. Like get some like flip some R's or something like Gudrun or something.
Yeah,
but I don't know. I don't want to.
I will not try to pronounce something because I have a hard enough time
with English. Apparently, yes,
English. Yes. As we just evidenced.
So, no offense to you, it's really all our hang-ups and our inability to speak ever.
Yep.
So, you know, if you've listened through all 62 episodes, my goodness, you know all about that. all right, so, you have three here, and I have to say, my favorite is the middle one. Free dice buys for you. Nefarious geneticist provides when he blocks. So here he's very much describing what the nefarious geneticist does, unless he's talking about Patrick, who does not get to buy dice for free, but that's okay. Which one of his three did you enjoy?
I like the third. Apocalypse Now. He is having so much fun re-rolling them all.
Yeah, like starting out with Apocalypse Now.
Yep.
But
that is a movie. That is a very long movie.
All right, next up.
We have Clint, who also gave us three, and similar to the previous entrant, or the previous runner-up, also had them themed after the prizes. I'm going to go with the Apocalypse one again. King Apocalypse, the first mutant ever born, destroyer of worlds.
See, I thought I liked. we have to read all three of his. I'm sorry. His first one, you got that one, but I like the first and the third. Eric M. Lenscher, master of magnetism, but still sticks to fridge. It's just. But then this one.
Now that one, Beast, refrigerator as the last line would almost make sense.
Beast looks like a cat, solves the legacy virus, and pees in a box. Like, come on. thank you, Clint.
That was. I'm not sure.
I don't know either, but it's headcanon now. anyway. All right, I got to read two there, Evan. You can go ahead for the next.
Next up is Alberto. He gives us Gobby, leave the field. Blue Eyes Dragon, help me, please. Pay one for bolt first, dear.
That's good. That's creative.
And gives us greetings from Spain.
Well, thank you, sir. The next up, we have Tim, also a runner-up. A lot of runner-ups here. I like that we're able... Runners-up, rather. I like that we're able to do stuff. Okay, this is called Odds. The only one to give him a title, I think. I like that. Oh, wait, no, there's another title. Okay, never mind. First turn for sidekicks. Then second turn for sidekicks. I attack for 8. Yeah.
Yeah, I've had games like that. Not quite that bad.
Those would be some crazy odds. So, well titled there, Tim. You are a runner-up.
Yep. Next up is Sean, who will be our last runner-up. PXG was automatic. Now my heart belongs to Swarm. Ramp, church, ramp, churn, kobold. Now, I will say that technically kobold is two syllables, and that last line is incorrect.
What if he put took the poetic license and put the apostrophe between the K and the B, so it was kobold? Then it would sound, well, I guess it would sound kind of Klingon. But what if?
We'll allow it.
Yeah, we are. And I have to imagine you meant ramp churn, but you wrote church there. But yeah, I'll tell you what, Swarm is a lot of fun, and it fits in a lot of different teams, and used well can be quite damaging.
Indeed.
Though it has an enemy in Magneto. All right, so we're into our grand prizes. I will read the first one here. This is from Meatman, who you may have seen around the forums. It is entitled Ode to PXG Ramp. PXG times 2. 4 more sidekick die I prep. Buy my Hulk turn 2. So he's going into some of his strategy here. Very nice. Well done, sir. I like it, and it's very, very thematic. Tell us about our other grand prize winner.
Our other grand prize winner is System Skills, again from our forums.
Yep.
And he is, in fact, the one who asked about haikus, plural and singularness.
Mm-hmm.
And his haiku was, dice hit the table. Sidekick, bolt, and fist. Sigh, awful first rolls.
Yeah.
I actually had those exact first rolls in the championship game of a rainbow draft at Gen Con.
I looked at it at first and I said, oh, you can get Coulson. No, Coulson's shield. That doesn't work too well. Those are some bad rolls.
You can get Pepper Potts.
So I think if there was a theme to the various haiku that we had, it was either cursing the odds of dice, cursing the fact that the game is so good and makes us want to spend money.
We're talking about the prizes.
Talking about like a thematic thing that like what do I do strategically or what do the cards do?
Right.
And I think pretty much all of them. Okay, except for the ones from Clint, which were just a world apart from the others. Magneto sticking to the fridge. So, all right. Well, we have a lot of other stuff to talk about today, including anything that might be going on around the network. So let's check in with some others.
And here we are, back for another edition of There and Back Again. I'm your host, Randy, and with me, as always,
Abigail.
She's feeling a little whiny today. Are you a little whiny?
Yeah.
Yeah? Why are you whiny?
I don't know.
Okay. But you like the character that we're going to talk about today, don't you?
Yeah.
Who is it?
She-Hulk.
She-Hulk?
Two of them cost 5 and one of them cost 6.
Two of them cost 5 and one of them cost 6. That's very observant. Why do you like She-Hulk?
Because she smashes.
I don't need to continue this any further. That's all that matters. But I suppose we should talk about these cards since we got them out, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and talk about She-Hulk a little bit. Her real name, Jennifer Walters. She is a lawyer by day and superhero by whenever she wants to be a superhero. She made her first appearance in the Savage She-Hulk number 1 in 1980. She's been an off and on member of the Avengers, the Fantastic Four. She's been a hero for hire. She's done just about everything under the sun. Well, let's go ahead and jump into these cards. What team is the common on?
The Avenger.
Yeah, she's an Avenger.
But we didn't see her on the Avengers.
No, she's not on any of the Avengers movies that we have. Not on the movies and not on the cartoons. They haven't brought her in yet. I think they should, shouldn't they?
Mm-hmm.
If She-Hulk is blocked, spin her up 1 level. Pretty solid ability. And her attack stat grows, 5 to 6 to 7. Her defense goes from 4 to 6 to 7. I mean, it'd be a real shame to have to field her on level 3 and not really be able to reap the benefits of her ability. But yeah, she's not bad. I mean, and especially being an Avenger, there's a couple different, bonuses she can get, whether you're using one of the AVX Nick Furies, or even, you know, various actions that reward, you know, people for having team affiliations. With Age of Ultron coming up, there's so many, you know, the team watch and teamwork abilities now that, you know, this She-Hulk could actually be pretty darn good, just simply for having that Avengers team affiliation. The uncommon, Lady Liberator. Again, another 5 cost, but is this She-Hulk on any teams?
No.
No. She-Hulk can only be blocked by 2 or more characters. Great card. I know our very own Dave really liked this card back in the days of Uncanny. It's still a solid draft card if you find yourself drafting Uncanny X-Men. I mean, I don't think there's really anything that has come out recently to make it more useful than what it already is. But, I mean, it is a really good 5-cost card. On, you know, levels 2 and 3, she has 6 and 7 defense. And so even if she is twin-blocked, there's a good chance she's still going to stay alive. Moving on to the rare. The rare costs a little more. How much does the rare cost?
6.
She...
But there's not any team.
No, there's not any team on that one either. She-Hulk superhero. This one has the heroic ability. While She-Hulk is paired up, gain 2 life each time she and or her partner is blocked. Heroic kind of fell flat on its face. As far as heroic abilities go, though, I think She-Hulk has one of the stronger ones. I really like She-Hulk's, I really like Wolverine's, and I really like Captain America's. And there are times I've played around with, you know, trying to make a heroic team. I think we've all tried to, and we've all told ourselves, you know what, other people can't get this mechanic to work, but I'll find a way to make it work and make it fun. And it's so tough. If you can find a way to use it, then great. You know, maybe they just need to change how the heroic mechanic works. You know, when fielded, she may pair up with a different heroic character until the start of your next turn. Maybe that pair up needs to last a little longer to make heroic viable. Or maybe they need to be able to pair up with a non-heroic character, but still it only lasts until next turn. I think it's just too hard to get work. But that's a conversation for another day. You know, this might be against popular opinion, but I think the common, Jennifer Walters, if she's blocked, spin her up one level, I think that's going to be the best one going forward, because we're getting ready to get so many more Avengers. What?
I'm done helping you.
You're done helping me?
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to go out with Mama.
Oh, you're going to go watch TV with Mama?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're leaving me. Wow. Well, you heard it, folks. She decided she was done recording with me. Hopefully this is just a one-time thing. Next time we record, she'll be back in here with me. If not, I may be taking applications. As I was saying, it might be against popular opinion. I really like the common because of the Avengers team affiliation. And we're getting ready to get so many things that reward a character for being on the same team affiliation. So, I guess I'm signing off alone tonight. This has been your host, Randy. Bye.
Welcome back, listeners, and thank you for all of the kind comments and suggestions on the last installment of The Dice Market. This is Isaac BV. For those hearing this for the first time, let me recap what this segment will entail. In the financial world, we look to the stock market reports to give us updates on the rise and the fall of stock prices and an overall volume assessment. Today, we will continue to give you all the financial information you need in the form of Dice Masters and what I like to call the Dice Market. This week on the Dice Market, we will continue to assess value based on the most popular websites for purchasing Dice Master singles. Both Cool Stuff Inc. and eBay are the top 2 go-to sites for purchasing cards to complete that team or to get the full set, depending on how you like to collect this game. One of the things you may notice is that Cool Stuff Inc. and other merchants tend to be more expensive than the average sale prices on eBay. Last time, we discussed the Avengers vs. X-Men Super Rares, and they averaged between $4 and upwards of $13 more on Cool Stuff than they did on eBay. While you may get a better price on eBay, there's variance in factors such as shipping times, auction bid max amounts from other users who also want your item, and waiting times for auctions to end. Merchant purchases have the advantage of being quicker to order and receive and are often at a set price, so you pay more, but it is a more streamlined approach of purchase when it comes to getting that elusive Gabby or Bucky Barnes character. In the end, it's up to you to determine which is better for you, your needs, and your purchases. Moving on, let's take a look at the Uncanny X-Men set. If you're anything like me, you collected way too much of this set. This was the first readily available group of cards to get your hands on, with all the delays that followed from the production and delivery of Avengers vs. X-Men. This set became very easy to find, and because of that, packs were bought in much higher amounts than they would be today. Higher amounts of this product in the market, along with less popularity and less influential super rares when it comes to the overall meta, make these four cards a little less valuable and therefore less expensive compared to the Avengers vs. X-Men counterparts, and it shows in their prices. For the month of July, prices on eBay for the Uncanny X-Men Super Rares and on Cool Stuff Inc. for the Uncanny X-Men Super Rares are as follows. When determining the eBay prices that I will be sharing, both the Buy It Now and the winning closed auction prices were combined together to give you a feel of what July of 2015 looked like. Starting with Scarlet Witch, her super rare Controls Probability and the average eBay Buy It Now and winning auction price was $18. On Cool Stuff Inc., that same card sells with a basic action for $24. Iron Man Industrialist goes for $14 on average on eBay, with buying it on Cool Stuff Inc., Iron Man Industrialist sells for $18. In July, the average eBay Buy It Now price and winning completed auctions for the Spider-Man Superhero Super Rare came in at $10. On Cool Stuff Inc., the same Spider-Man Superhero Super Rare can be found for $11. Finally, we have Emma Frost, Hellfire Club. Her Super Rare, on average, on eBay, has been averaging $10 total per month. At Cool Stuff Inc., you can find Emma Frost, Hellfire Club for $18. Join us next time as we continue to look at the dice market when it comes to cards from the next set along the line, the Dungeons & Dragons and Yu-Gi-Oh! Sets. Thank you for joining us.
Gen Con, as they call it, the best 4 days in gaming. It just happened, and Evan was there, and actually so was Randy and JT and Ken, but we don't have them here with us right now. We have Evan.
I'm sorry for that.
Well, you are dealing with the con crud, so we won't hold too much against you tonight.
Yep.
Today.
Thank you.
Whenever. Yeah. So we have Evan here, and Evan did in fact get to go to the con. Now, we had a lot of Dice Masters stuff that we were able to discuss there. We have an article about JT's team that he used, the one that he feels is a bit of a flash in the pan. We have Randy talking about why his results went the way that they did. I guess including, I don't think he justifies his two losses to Abigail in Uno, but you know, whatever. I wouldn't talk a lot about losses to a 3-year-old either. I think she might almost be 4. I don't know. and then, of course, we had Ken, who was helping to do some of the videographing, I suppose, of the late night events that the Double Bursts were holding. So lots of stuff happening at Gen Con. Evan, you were there. You got to do some Dice Masters and also wander around and do some other con stuff. So let's start with just Gen Con itself. I mean, this was a record-breaking year. They had over 60,000 people at this convention, and that is insane to me. I thought Origins was plenty big. So tell me a little bit about, you know, just Gen Con. Let me live through your eyes, man.
Sure. There were a lot of, like, interesting new releases. I know it's not Dice Masters, but there was several big game releases. Mysterium was available.
Oh, I need to get that.
When I say it was available, I mean it was present. It was, unless you got online for the dealer area about 2 hours before it opened.
Yeah.
You weren't getting a copy.
Well, that's fair.
I tried. I had some people asking me about copies, and I was just like, I got there like 45 minutes early, and I didn't even have a shot. It was like the line was around the booth two times before when I got in.
Yikes.
Yeah. I did manage to get a copy of Welcome to the Dungeon, which is pretty much sold out everywhere else, so that was nice. But there were people everywhere. Lots of people in costume, costumes of everything, anything you can think of.
Yeah, the cosplaying is huge at Gen Con. Not so much at Origins if you were only there and haven't seen and haven't had the chance to see Gen Con. But yeah, it's absolutely huge there.
Yep, a lot of the big conventions, it's really popular.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm kind of glad there were a couple of. It's not my bag. I think it's fun for some things. I'm certainly not opposed to walking around in costume. I think we saw some people pushing the bounds of good taste at Origins, but there weren't a lot of cosplayers there in general. Certainly, there are plenty at Gen Con.
Yes.
So some good, some bad. Some who obviously put a lot of care into what they've created, and some
many
who just
who
like
put a lot of care into what they created. I saw some. I want to say it was, a War Machine cosplayers that did truly fantastic jobs on their, like, full suits of armor, stuff
wow.
like that.
I'll tell you what, if I wanted to get into minis, I would get into War Machine. I don't. War Machine or maybe Malifaux. I don't want to, but if I did, like, something harder than, like, Heroescape and, of course, the new Magic minis game, which is fantastic...
I'm still looking for a copy of that.
Oh, it's so good. But anyway, moving off of that, yeah, plenty of that. So what else stuck out to you other than Mysterium?
Mysterium, let's see. I actually didn't wind up spending tons and tons of time in the dealer room. I wandered around some. I found a cheap gravity feed of DC, which happened to wind up having a... super rare Constantine in it.
There it is.
So
well done.
That was terrific. I also, because I actually hadn't picked up my Age of Ultron stuff yet, because I'd been traveling so much last month. I didn't sort of want the box to come the day after I left and sit on my stoop for a week. So I picked them up while I was there, and it was great. I came back to my room, and I was actually rooming with Katie, if people remember. And,
of course.
I just sat down and went through two gravity feeds after one night, and she was just like, man, I remember, she remembered going through the giant stacks of packs. So that was fun.
It's a hard thing to forget going through that whole box, I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
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 So, that's cool. Katie was there, of course, too. Now, I know you were going and you were able to do some D&D as well as some Dice Masters. So, obviously,
yes.
We're going to talk a little bit about, like, you know, the Dice Masters.
Yes, you don't need to hear about my D&Ds.
Yeah, that's perfectly fair. So, which did you focus on? Did you do the drafts or the constructed events? A little bit of both? What did you manage to get into?
Exclusively draft.
You're a draft guy.
Yes, I am a draft guy. I tend to not really, I won't say care for constructed, but I tend to prefer draft. And my schedule was tight enough that I didn't really have time to schedule too many more. Like, I didn't have time to look into scheduling constructed. I also hadn't known there was going to be constructed. So it was moot because all I brought with me was the basic actions and, like, starter dice.
Ah.
So... I mean, I could have made a constructed team from the DC and Age of Ultron gravity feeds I got, but it would have been kind of a weird constructed deck, considering that we have, we draw from everything nowadays.
Yeah, no, that would have been, that would have been something strange. So the drafts, I assume Age of Ultron?
Yes. They did do some DC drafts, I believe.
Yeah, of course, DC... Justice League, not War of Light yet.
Yes, yes. No War of Light yet. Though I hear some people might have gotten previews.
I heard that too. Jimmy was kind of flaunting around a couple of War of Light cards here and there, in addition to the ones that we already had spoiled. And of course, we will be talking plenty about those sorts of things as more details come out and we're able to dig into them just a little bit more.
So
talk a little bit about the drafts. What were other people drafting? What's been your impression of the Age of Ultron draft format to this point?
I have to say, I found that when I was going to draft, I was like, man, I could do things with, like, Avengers, or I could do things with this, or I could, oh, look, I got an Ultron and an Ultron drone. Or sometimes an Ultron and several Ultron drones. It is the path of least resistance. It works very well. Of the five games I played with that team, with that setup, I lost one. And it was a fairly close game against actually Alice from the Double Bursts.
Mm-hmm.
And she had gotten the rare Baron Zemo and the rare Loki's Scepter.
Oh, jeez.
Yes, she had an extremely solid team.
That's a crazy...
Yeah,
she had a couple of rares.
She also got Chase Gladiator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I pulled that. Oh, not the Chase, though. Wow.
Yeah.
So what was it about those two that worked so well together against...
I mean, to a degree, especially if you can get... The first draft round I played, I only got one Ultron drone because there weren't very many in the pod. Mm-hmm. And that was all I could pull.
Mm-hmm.
The second one, I got four. And when you have multiple Ultron drones, they are your ramp. They are your win condition. Like, you basically buy some Ultron drones. I went for one of the... I believe it's the common Pepper Potts, who gives a defensive mm-hmm. boost. And it's basically, oh, well, I've got a wall of, you know, minimum 1-5 characters. And... I just wait around until I got, you know, two of those out. I get Ultron out, and then every turn I do 5 damage as long as I can roll double fists on something. So you have Kang there supporting that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're basically just using commons, one or two uncommons, and there's, you know, as long as you can roll double fists each turn, you're doing, you know, with the crazy fielding costs we have this time around, you're doing 5 damage a turn. There's really very little your opponent can do about it.
Mm-hmm.
Short of taking distraction, but...
it's true. I mean, there's Ultron... Now, were you playing mostly... And maybe you said it and I missed it. Were you playing mostly with the common or the uncommon?
I was playing with the uncommon
Ultron
drone. I actually had the opportunity to use both the common or the uncommon... I was like, it is nice to get it cheaper. At the same time, the extra probably two damage a turn just speeds up your win and makes it a little less likely that, oh, I just didn't manage, you know, the dice hated me this turn. I couldn't roll double fists to save my life. And, you know, they get another turn to find a chink in your defenses or knock out your Ultron or
mm-hmm.
otherwise throw a monkey wrench into things.
Well, I'll tell you what, getting the damage from that, plus the Ultron, plus if you Hulk it out.
Yeah.
Give it Overcrush. I mean, that's just, that's pretty crazy. Let's talk about the other team that you mentioned. You said Alice had
it.
Baron Zemo and Loki's Scepter Rare. So just so if you can't envision that or don't know these off by heart, Loki's Scepter Rare, that's piercing. It's a 4-mask non-basic action. You put it in your field zone. You can move it to your use pound and knock out an enemy character that did combat damage to you. And then you actually prevent the damage that character did. Then you send the die to the used pile at the end of your opponent's turn. The die that did the...
It's basically, no, that guy didn't actually get through.
Yeah, he didn't get through, and he's going to used.
Yep.
So, that's pretty cool.
So that and then just Zemo himself lets you cycle your actions to prep instead of used
mm-hmm.
For a small fee.
And so you can just keep those things coming around, knock out what you need to knock out, and get through.
Yeah, and she took Nasty Plot and Power Bolt.
Mm.
So she was just, you know, she was keeping her bag.
Draw two dice and put them in your prep.
She was, you know, drawing four dice every turn, or four extra dice every turn. So she was, you know, she basically saw the same dice every turn. And then Power Bolting me almost every turn, assuming she could actually, you know, roll action dice faces, which there were actually some problems doing, even once she got Kang out.
Right.
So, yeah, no, I mean, it was a very, very strong team. Very well put together.
The only problem with those is that, like, it's not always easy to there are two aspects to it. One, it's hard to get those two rares in one place.
In a draft. No, she said, you know, she got those two things and she's just like, well, I know what I'm doing.
Exactly, yeah. Well, then that's the other part of it. Like, you have to be able, those things are going to come up so darn rarely.
Right.
That you have to know what you're looking at. You have to know that it's there. Like, that's where having strong card knowledge is really just, I mean, it's unparalleled. Looking at those two individually, some good pieces. But putting them together and recognizing, okay, this is what I have, and so this is what I need to do, that's pretty nice. So hats off to her for sure. Yeah,
I honestly think that the Zemo alone is very strong.
I agree with that.
Because, you know, the piercing is just icing on top, but when you have Zemo there, and you can just be like, okay, I'm just going to cycle my Nasty Plots and Power Bolts and bolt you down.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great opportunity. One card strategy, you know. It is a one card strategy as opposed to the two card strategy of Ultron and his drone.
Yeah. No, that's true.
It's just not one you can count on, where you can probably count on seeing Ultron and at least one drone, whether you can get enough of them. And I really feel like you want at least two or three drones to make it really successful. Just because then you can, you know, you sacrifice your drones as blockers, and then you roll them the next turn to get your fists.
So were there any other interesting things that you saw in the draft? What else were other people putting together? What did you see people throwing out? What was successful, what was not?
People loved Ant-Man, Giant Man. I keep calling him Ant-Man because he also goes by that name sometimes. Also, I really want to see the movie, and I haven't gotten a chance to yet.
Oh, I haven't either. It looks good.
Yeah. I almost did while I was at Gen Con, actually, but, you know, like, the night after. But I wound up hanging out with friends instead. So,
right.
But in any event, yes, people use Giant Man to great effect, which I can understand. He is an excellent die, and especially if you can get his rare or even his uncommon, he is a very strong card. Believe it or not, I think one of the most trouble I had was with a uncommon Thanos.
Really?
Yeah, no, someone had a pretty good ramp structure going and managed to purchase the 8 cost Thanos who's unblockable.
Right. Oh yeah.
And well, I believe well, I'll that's tell you the why. Uncommon.
Yeah, it is. You know, I pulled him up to check on that. Yeah, 8 mask, unblockable. That's just, you know.
And that was, I was like, oh my, now I have a timer. And I managed to eke that out. I think it came down to on his last turn, it was the last turn we'd gone to the 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Mm-hmm.
And it was his last turn. And I was like, well, if you roll Thanos as a character, I can't do anything about him. So that'll be the game, and he didn't manage to.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you what. He cost 8.
Yep.
But he's unblockable. Like, do not discount that.
No, yeah, no, I mean,
do not discount the viability of an unblockable beast like that, because he has just beefy stats. It'll kill you.
He's not going to be knocked out with anything.
No.
And worse yet, a lot of the, like, I'll knock him out abilities, they preclude him being on the table. Thanos doesn't stay on the table. He goes through.
Right.
You drop him on the table, and he goes through. Piercing is probably one of the best defenses against that, but again, not something you can count on getting.
No. I mean, you have the opportunity in Unlimited. Yeah, you have ways that you can knock him out, you know, but...
Right. But I'll tell you what, in draft, yeah, he's a problem. He is essentially a timer on your game. Because he swings through three times, most likely, you're dead. From full health.
Now, was anybody using... Rare Wasp? Was that in the draft pot at all?
I never saw one of them.
Okay.
A lot of people were using Wasp. People like her, like the sort of the safety net of her abilities.
Mm-hmm.
Or of her global.
Yeah. But you didn't see the rare.
Yep. But no, I don't think anyone drew a rare. Or at least not in the pods I was in or around.
I'll tell you what, depending on what you buy, that rare Wasp can just win on its own.
Yep. I also heard, I think someone got a super rare Magneto and Jocasta in their set of 12 in two different sets of 6.
Hey, I mean, it can happen. I got the super rare in my first stage of Ultron draft a couple weeks ago. I got the super rare Thanos as well as the super rare Gladiator.
Yep.
So, I mean, who the heck knows? It can happen.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see necessarily a strategy that puts those two together, though they are very solid cards.
So. No, it's just they were there. Hey, yeah. Whatever, you know.
Lots of super rare showing up. Jimmy said they actually went through, I think, about 50 gravity feeds.
Wow.
Yep.
You gotta love that. I mean, that's a fair amount of it's a fair amount of product to go through.
Yeah.
I mean, that's 375 drafters. If you say 50 gravity feeds, right? Because 50 with 90 in a pack.
Each gravity feed is 8, right?
Yeah, well, I'm just saying each gravity feed times the packs divided by 12 packs per player. That's 375, and that's just for the draft events. We know that there were people playing Constructed because we had a few people there.
Yeah, I mean, there was overlap, obviously.
But. Yeah, obviously, of course. There were some people doing multiple drafts and all those kinds of things, but 375 different people, or not necessarily different, but 375, that's awesome. Divide that down into pods of, into like your average pod size of 8 or your ideal pod size of 8, and you had like, you know, somewhere in the high 40s of drafts going.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, we definitely had 3 pods going at one time.
That's awesome.
In one slot, yeah. No, and the WizKids staff and volunteers did a bang-up job.
Mm-hmm.
Really, you know, they were friendly, they were helpful, busy, but things moved.
Good.
So.
Good stuff.
Yeah, they did a great job, and I'd like to, you know, give a shout out to them right now. Thanks, guys.
Huzzah. Our hats are off.
Yep.
So, there weren't a ton of spoilers or anything at this con either. I mean, other than what Jimmy was kind of messing with.
Yeah, they didn't actually have like a case on display. They didn't have any. WizKids booth in the dealer room, the monetarium or the spenditarium, as we like to call it.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, they basically had their corner of the event hall.
Right.
And they had people playing HeroClix and Attack Wing and Dice Masters, of course.
Right, right. How many people were there for Clix and Attack Wing?
It's hard to say because I didn't, you know, I actually didn't look too close to that. They had quite a number of tables.
Yeah. I'm not surprised for Clix. Attack Wing is really cool, and I got to say, at the risk of, I don't want to disenfranchise anybody who likes Clix. I've tried it. I see the appeal. It's not for me. Attack Wing is pretty freaking awesome, especially the D&D one. And, I hope that really picks up for WizKids, because that is just, I think it's better than X-Wing.
Hmm.
Truly. I mean, what they've worked in with the ground units and some of the other stuff.
I'm sure someone is like, them's fighting words.
Hey, X-Wing is good and fun, though I sold all of mine because I by all rights, I should love that game, but I hate it every time I played it. So, there's that. But, yeah, I don't know. Attack Wing is pretty awesome. I mean, I think that's the minis game of choice if I were to do a WizKids minis game. But I have my HeroScape 2.0 with the magic one, so I'll come off of that. But yeah, that's pretty cool to hear what people are using. I think it's nice that we are not really seeing, like, Ultron and the drones work, but it's not like the only thing. It's not so clear cut as, hey, it's DC, so let's go with the Firestorm and the Cheetah.
Yeah, I mean, I think Ultron is going to be something you'll see a lot, and I've definitely seen it in drafts at quote-unquote home, that, you know, people would grab those two and get a little support stuff, and like Pepper, and maybe Giant Man, just because, hey, Giant Man, he's huge! And, you know, they can put up a really solid team without, you know, having to worry about even getting uncommons particularly.
Right.
But, you know, which is to a degree the appeal of stuff like the Firestorm, because you can get one or two pretty common cards and you're set.
Right.
And I think that's sort of how things go in Unlimited, where, you know, you go for things that are you're probably going to be able to get and you're probably going to be able to make work. That said, I could see Avengers working with support mm-hmm. from some of the S.H.I.E.L.D. and Nick Fury personnel. I could see something even Iron Man-centric and playing off of Pepper Potts working, because Tin Head is quite strong.
Right.
I'd like to say I could see Guardians of the Galaxy-based team working, but the Guardians are so expensive to field, and you have nothing that makes that cheaper.
No, it's an interesting affiliation, but you need some support around it that you're not going to get in draft to make it work well.
Yeah,
there are going to be people who want to force it because they love the Guardians, but I just don't think it's in the cards, if you pardon the pun.
Yeah, I tried it in a draft. I got the rare Star-Lord who makes mm-hmm. purchase costs go down.
Yeah.
And it was just, I would get, you know, two or three characters and be like, oh, I need six energy this turn.
I had that trouble in our sealed games, too. I think it's not so bad if you want to do that and then have like, the Blam murder you Rocket Raccoon.
Yeah.
He's a good, quick, early character.
Yeah, but when it gets you like, oh, I need to put out, you know, I need to put out my Star-Lord again, and I need to get Gamora out, and because she's, like, my
solution. It's a chore.
She's my solution for dealing with characters who I need to knock out. And
right.
And then I need to field globals because I want to use my opponent's Ultron Drone ability to make Ultron block Gamora. And you're just like, I don't have enough energy for all of this. I'm so sad.
I hear you there.
Whereas Avengers have S.H.I.E.L.D. agents to fix them.
Right. No, I've been in the exact same spot. I mean,
yeah.
Enough said there. The Guardians don't quite work, unfortunately. But what can you do? So tell us, were you at Gen Con? Did you see one of our folks who were there and talk with them and have some fun or whatever else? I'll say that while I was in Florida, I did get to meet Pat, which is pretty cool to meet face to face. Took the trek over to Orlando as we were on our last day finishing up with lunch at Downtown Disney. But did you see us there? What were your experiences like? What did you think about all the Dice Masters play that was there? There was plenty of it. And I got to say, I really like having those quick play events. I think that's something that should just happen. I like that better for the big cons. I'll tell you, it was a bummer at Origins having to feel like, man, if I want to do well, but if I do well, I'm going to be tied to this area for like the whole con. And look at all the awesome stuff happening over there. That was tough. But to be able to be like, okay, well, I'll pop up for a quick play event or two, and then I can go demo some games, and oh, maybe later I'll pick up a draft. Like that's a lot nicer. I understand why they're doing nationals Worlds at Origins, but I wish they'd find a different way to do it. That's just me. I don't know about you. So, all right. Well, that brings us to the end of another episode of The Reserve Pool. We appreciate you listening to us as ever. Of course, you can find us in so many different ways. Of course, on the forums, we're there. We have the website and the blogs. You too can blog for yourself at thereservepool.com. We have Twitter at thereservepool, among other folks who are out there. We also would love it if you'd leave us iTunes reviews. It does help us get the word out there. So please do that. We'd love to recognize your review on the show. Otherwise, thanks once more. This is Dave.
And this is Evan.
And this has been The Reserve Pool. See you again in a week. Bye.
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 What?
What?
Are you dying in here?